Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. We serve a mighty God. His return is imminent, and His plan is also imminent. I thank God that He has a strong plan for us. And I love being in God's presence. You know, my choice is always to do something according to the Word of God. Not for reward, not because I'm going to heaven and not because I don't want to go to hell, but it's fun to talk to the Lord. It's fun to, I love to learn from Him. And I love everything about God. The more I learn about Him, the more I want to know about Him. And that's not flattering, that's just the way it is. It's intriguing when you hear God talk, when you hear what He has to say, when you take time to get to know Him. And I feel ashamed for every Christian who give up on a relationship with God. I'm talking about dialoguing and talking to Him and praying. And the trade-off is that so that they worried about their life. You know, just like Martha was full of business, and Mary, her sister, was sitting there at Jesus' feet hearing His word, being intrigued by His doctrine. You have to do both. You have to do things in life. But when you have the wind of God's voice in your back, when you have His words to hold on to and believe, it makes all the business that you do better and more precise and more productive. You think broader. Not against the narrow way, but you think broader in life. And you hold fast to the narrow way. And a lot of Christians have not held fast to the narrow way. They allow themselves to do things that God specifically said do not do. And when people go to hell, it's because they turned their heart against God. They didn't receive the love of God, they didn't receive the love of God's ways, the love of salvation, the love of life, the love of God. And they didn't love man either. They rejected His love. They didn't learn it. That's why Thessalonians, they didn't receive the love of the truth. They put their truth first. They put false truth first. Things that they said were true, things that they said were honorable, they put that first. But when you have a relationship with the Lord, when you know Him, it doesn't matter what the world's doing. And I'm going to tell you, the world is doing some nasty stuff. It's bad. It's worse than I thought, and I knew it was bad. I've been fighting this war since 1983. And the enemy's been fighting me all my life. I just didn't know it. When I was deceived, I didn't know I was being seduced and brought low. I know what it's like to be a sinner. When you're a sinner, anything can be true. Anything can be good. You don't know. You know the devil's bad, and you know God's good, but you do what you want. And you hope you go to heaven. You hope God will let you go into heaven. You don't know Him. He's a stranger. And so is Satan. He's a stranger too. You think he's somewhere else. He's right there watching you mess your life up, trying to plot ways to kill you and give you bad advice. A guy rode off on my motorcycle when I was, I got the motorcycle when I was 12, so between the age of, I was still in elementary school. So I had to be 12 or 13 when he rode off on my motor. I let him ride it, but he just kept going. I got so mad, the thought came to kill him. And I entertained that thought, but that was Satan. And my parents, I know they were praying for me. because if I almost made up my mind to go get the gun and hide in the woods. I knew my daddy kept it. He was at work. I was that angry. And I know that my parents were praying for me, because when I looked over at his house, I imagined a funeral procession. And I was the one who killed him. And I, you know, God gave, you know, he helped me do that. I wasn't a Christian at that time. So he was watching over my life through the prayers of my parents. And I put that thought away from me. And I regretted that I even thought something like that. I said, that motorcycle, I said, the next thought was that the motorcycle's gonna wear out in a few years and I will have killed somebody over a motorcycle. And that's not, I put that thought far away from me. You know, God would protect me in that time and other times like it. But as I got to know the Lord, I'm so thankful that he guided me. He helped me go forward. He helped me do what's right. And I can't take the credit for it. He had my back when I didn't have his. He had my back when I was on the other side of the table. Now I'm on God's side of the table. I'm in God's yard. I'm in the kingdom of God. And I love it. And I want no part of the unfruitful works of darkness. Just like we learn God's ways, we learn to trust and we learn his word. When, the more we understand, now we can see how evil Satan's works are and how they work subtly. So I said, I don't want to be doing something habitually. I'm thinking it's all right and it's detrimental to everything I'm doing. I said, everything that's not like God got to go. I want no taste for it. I want to detest everything of Satan, all of it, everything. If it's of Satan, I want it to look like it's of Satan. I want to hate it. So when I confess that I hate the things, that not only the alluring things of the world, but the doctrines, the subtle doctrines that people have received as truth. I see preachers preaching what they learned in seminary school, and I know the difference in some cases, such as the spiritual gifts. People say it went out, used to say that it went out with the apostles. They don't do it as much now. But that was the doctrine of the day back in the 70s and 80s. But people have learned better, because the Lord has healed people, and it's undeniable. So if you go to denominational churches, they don't preach like they used to. I heard a guy last year on the radio talking about soul sleep. I said, that's an evil doctrine to preach to somebody. When you die, you just go to sleep till Jesus wake you up. No, Paul put it plainly. I don't know how they continue foolishness. He said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, that's not slow soul sleeping. That is alive. And everybody that have seen heaven or hell, they say when you're out of the body, you're more alive. You're not as restricted. You see better. You hear better. You retain what you hear one time. You're different. You don't have your flesh and brain to slow you down. It slows you down. Because everything that you know, it has to be processed through it. But except for what comes in the heart. When you put the word in your heart is like a super brain. You can know things in your heart and renew your mind. But the flesh slows you down, and it does. But it also gives you legal rights to operate in the earth. And we need it. And then as I hear doctrines of, you know, against the body, the flesh always wants to do this and that. Your flesh can be bridled like a tame horse. You don't have to go around on the edge of the hill feeling tempted and beat down. You can thrive in this life, and I found out through your relationship with the Lord. Most people won't draw near to the Lord. They won't listen long enough in prayer they don't even let God get a word in edgewise. God can, he say one thing, they run with it. Sometimes he's not finished talking. God told me, they so excited that God told them something, they can get off their knees and go tell everybody. Well, let me say this. The word of God is a charge. If you lose the charge, you lose the knowledge of that word. Sometimes you have to meditate on it in order to learn greater things. And when you go tell people that's worse and contrary, people that's contrary, they challenge it and make you doubt it. And once you doubt it, then you back where you was before you hit your knees in prayer. You know, before I learned that, I did all those things. I learned to be quiet, listen, process. You know, God made cows. They got four stomachs, they eat, then they chew the cud. They think, it's like, that's what you do with the word of God. You bring it back and think about it before somebody challenges it out of you. And because of false doctrine and laziness and poor example, people do it all the time. I'm not trying to bash people, but this is how it is. This is why the church can't produce a revival anymore. But people who follow God are doing a revival now. It's been going on for years. But people who won't listen to the Lord, they don't know anything about it. God left them out because they're contrary. And they won't listen. That's why they don't know about what God is doing. They're not in it. God left them out of it. But he's moving through the lives of those who love him, those who trust him, those who hear him out. He's telling them how to win souls, what to do. All the arrogance, the competition, people that are given the arrogance and competition and pride, God left them out of this revival. They're not going to ever be in it. They're doing whatever they do. Even, you know, they don't be so surprised. Jesus said, men will come to me saying, Lord, Lord. He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. But they'll say, we work miracles in your name. We cast out devils. But they would not listen. And when the Lord tried to get them on board, they wouldn't listen. When they got an error, they didn't listen. And they wouldn't repent. And some of them are not living a trashy life. They can't go. Some people are also stuck. They're praying for the revival, which is great. But they're not included because they don't yield enough to the Lord. They don't hear him out. They don't know what he's doing. If God's not steadily revealing to you what he's doing, then something is wrong. I promise you something's wrong. If he's not telling you what he's doing in other places, if he's not guiding you in what to do anymore, something is wrong. It's up to you to go and say, Lord, why am you not telling me what to do anymore? Why am I living a stalled life? And then after you pray that prayer, go back and think about the last thing he told you to do. Did you let somebody talk you out of it? Did you change your mind? Did you forget about it? Did you let it drop? That's why he had to go around you. You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't humble yourself to him. You wouldn't humble yourself to the word. You did something else. So he had to leave you out. I'm sorry. And it's probably too late. Because you have to be trained for this. And he has to train you. If you waste your training time, you're not going to. The best thing you can do is pray for it. Pray his will. And you have to be willing to relearn some things. Sometimes the things that we've learned over the years is just wrong. Just like you see the old denomination of preachers preach against the supernatural. And you're living it. God had to walk around them. He left them out. They wouldn't grow anymore. They're trying to live in an old glory. Once you see the interest, When a man gets saved, he's born again. That's not going to fulfill his life. That begins his life. That gives them the ability to become the sons and daughters of God. That gives us the ability to become the sons and daughters of God. It doesn't make you, you have to move on from the cross. We got saved at the cross. But one scripture tells us to go ahead and grow. Jesus said, learn of me. You're in my presence, you love me, learn of me. Most people don't do that. And they're praying for a revival like it used to be. It's never going to happen that way. The revival is already moving. He just left folks out of it that wouldn't listen. And now they want to be in it. They want to be known. They want to be blessed. They want to be... God's not doing that. And I'm not the only person saying this. I knew this a long time ago, that this last revival that we're in right now, no name people are doing it. See, this time, the governments and the evil people and the witches and the Illuminati people and the rich people, they can't buy preachers because they don't know who to buy. They can't do like they used to. They can't take the famous preachers and they got money overseas and they're buying them and they're paying them not to say certain things and to say certain things and dance around certain things. They're not, though, that's over. They took the bait. I'm sorry. But the ones that love God, they're in it. They're doing what's supposed to be done. They can't be proud. The Lord told me this a long time ago. I'm not surprised. He said they can't be bought. They won't take bribes. They can't be controlled by money, prestige, pride. They don't care. They're released from all that junk. While other people who are in it, that's why God walked around them. They need to get saved. They need to get saved and repent from their evil works. And sometimes I wonder, how will the rapture really look? People that turn their shoulder, they turn their shoulder against God because they turn their heart. They believe something wrong. And it takes the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth so we can stay safe. They got off the narrow path. Or they became useless, unproductive, or limited. Some people, hopefully, they're on the narrow path, but they're limited. And they're teaching doctrine without researching it out. If there is one scripture that defies it, then you gotta, if one scripture can challenge your doctrine, you need to research your doctrine and give it to God and let God sort it out for you. I do it all the time. Everything I believe, I let the Lord, if there's anything that I believe that's not status quo with God, I let the Lord work it out. I study the scriptures. See, I used to study scriptures. I study chapters and books now. I give the Holy Spirit something to train me with. And that's how I do it. Ministry is so easy. That's the easiest thing I do, is preach the Word of God. Once I get out of bed, which is sometimes the hardest thing I do, and I'm on my feet, I can work. I do a lot of work. I don't trust people to help me in ministry because when the Lord had me to share His word with pastors, it was rejected. And I learned things. I learned some hard truths that if pastors don't get on board, people are not going to get on board. And I knew people would not help me do what I'm doing. So I work and I pay for radio time. I work, I pay for the website. I work to do these things. I have to work extra to do it. So I don't mind. Because when the church went to sleep, I woke up. And there are others like me. There are others that just love God and they're going to do whatever it takes. I will do whatever it takes to get the word out. If I went to a church and asked them for help, then they're going to... If they bother to listen to the broadcast that I do, they're going to talk about what they don't agree with. They're not going to fund it. I'm not speaking a curse or nothing. That's just how it is. But they'll get their cars fixed. I thank God for that. And I can do it. So I'm good. And I decided a long time ago I would not sell my ministry. I'm not a fundraiser. As God bless me to get finances, I will do it. If he give me and people that help me, I welcome it. Sometimes there are people that help, and they believe in what I'm doing, and they believe in what God is doing, and they're very helpful. But I will never stop working as long as God give me breath and strength. I'm going to work. If I live to be 120, I don't think Jesus is going to tarry that long. But I'll do it. I'm not going to stop. I'm still learning about cars because they're always changing. So I can continue to progress and do God's work. Everybody that was wholehearted, the gospel was more important than their life. Think on that. Everybody in the Bible that was wholehearted, the work of God, they weren't working for salvation. They were working because they love people, because they love God. And that was more important than the very breath that they enjoyed. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. Think on that. They love not their life to death. They did God's word, even though it's dangerous. And it's dangerous to follow God, but they didn't care. Now I'm out of time. The Lord is not. He'll continue to mighty move in throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.